If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Atlantic Coast Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 643-114.
Summertime is home remodeling time. Maybe you had some storm damage and now you have to repair your home's exterior. You need to hire a contractor. There are so many scams going on. I don't know that a week goes by where I don't have a WGN listener who hired somebody who didn't show up or hired somebody who didn't know what he was doing and left the project with their money. And so I wanted to address this issue. And with us to discuss it is Ryan Waltz. He is the owner and partner of Chicagoland's premier home remodeling company, Cobblestone Exteriors. Welcome to the show, Ryan. How are you?
Hi, Karen. Happy to be a resource for your listeners today. I'm doing just fine. Thank you very much.
And at the when we move ahead with this conversation, Ryan has been kind enough to put together a little email that he can send to you that basically helps the idea of how to get a good remodeler and how to deal with somebody in doing these things. And I'm sure you're going to want to do this if this is in your near future. First of all, let's start with how do you find a reputable contractor? What are the best ways to do that?
Yes, I always encourage people to do their due diligence. Vet the reviews online is always a nice starting point. Google offers a nice resource for that. Secondarily, are they licensed? Are they insured? Do they carry certain criteria, professional criteria, like being an A-plus in the Better Business Bureau, being a part of the Association of Remodelers, things of that nature. But in general, professional criteria and a solid history of good customer service is what you're looking for.
And, you know, I know that there's this adage that you get three quotations. And when you get those quotes, I mean, people are going to always want to go for the cheapest, right? What's your thought on that?
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that, Karen. Around Chicago, it's the standard about 90% of the time. We're always coming across clients who have to get their three quotations. You know, we live in a very price-conscious world. More often than not, price is the criteria that's weighted the most. If you're comparing and contrasting, you want to make sure it's quote-unquote apples to apples, if the scopes are aligned, and if not, you have to do your own homework to assign value for the scope items that are missing. But going the lowest cost route is not always the best route, because if you think professionals are expensive, just wait until you hire somebody who's not a professional.
And let me throw in my 2 or 3 cents. You know, I feel the same way about lawyers. And, you know, you see someone who maybe reaches out to me or someone else and says, well, I went with the one who's, I mean, this is like $50 an hour less. You know, in the long run, you know, it could be more expensive to hire somebody who's not moving your case forward or someone who's not experienced or who messes up your case. And maybe you have a very important issue like the custody of your children. And in your case, you know, making sure that your house, probably for a lot of people, their biggest investment, to make a mistake on a house and to have liens put on it and have a scammer come in and do some bad things, that's in the long run, price, you know, a few dollars here and there is not going to make a big difference. And you really, really need to pay attention to quality over the money.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about the contract and what needs to be in the contract in order to protect yourself when you are doing a home remodeling or repair.
Yes, there's a lot of variations of contracts out there, as you can imagine. The ones that pass the legal sniff test, so to speak, are the ones that have scope of work in detail with a description of what's going to be performed, often including blueprints, architectural drawings, some sort of specific exhibit on that timeline, commitments in regards to when is this intended to start, certain milestones and completion targets. You're going to have a pricing and a payment structure. You're going to have staged payments depending on the scope and the size of the project, payment terms. Change order process is oftentimes included in that.
And what is, can you explain what that, can you explain what that is?
Absolutely. Oftentimes throughout the course of the project, either the client or the contractor may have to come up with an alternative approach or maybe the client decided that they would prefer a certain feature that has a cost associated with that. Those change orders have to be accounted for in writing as if they're doing a separate agreement, and payment is usually accounted for up front for those particular changes prior to that work proceeding.
So that should also be in writing. So you change your mind midstream, you want 5 cupboards instead of 3, or you want different quality handles or whatever it is, that should also be in writing and should be amended, you know, an amendment at least to the contract.
Correct. As small as those changes may seem, they can have a big impact on collection and completion.
Ryan, I see this all the time with some of these smaller contractors where they want all the payment up front, and in particular for materials. How would you advise my listeners to handle that?
I would always advise against not paying the entire amount up front. It's very rare, and it's definitely a red flag if somebody's requiring that. Most of the contracts that we're seeing out there, small to medium-sized projects, are 50% down, 50% upon completion. It's kind of an industry standard. When you graduate to larger projects or projects with multiple build elements, we personally have a staged contract payment plan, so it's 30, 30, 30, 10, 30% down, which allows a company like myself to order materials, 30% upon start, 30% upon considerable completion, and then a 10% punch list leverage for the client, similar to an escrow fund. They retain 10% of the payment to make sure that everything is getting across the finish line according to their satisfaction.
And can you explain what a punch list is?
Punch lists can be something as simple as having a piece of siding out of place, missing some caulk, maybe some of the paint wasn't applied appropriately. There's multiple scenarios. It's essentially, you know, the last dotting of the I's and crossing of the T's, so to speak, to where everybody has their thumbs up and is appreciative of a fully completed project.
Ryan Waltz is with us. He is with Cobblestone Exteriors, an excellent company to deal with. Has been in the Chicagoland community for many decades. Let's take a break. I'm going to give out my number, and then before we take the break, I want you to tell me about this email that you can send my listeners to help them through this remodeling process. The number here is 312-981-7200. Ryan, tell us what this document is and how they can get it from you.
Sure thing. So Cobblestone Exteriors, we're located at 3062 North Clybourne in Chicago. We've been around for 38 years, and over the years, we've compiled a number of different elements that should belong into a document that will give you an idea on how to have a successful remodeling project. There are 6 points: avoiding misconceptions, common scams, choosing the right contractor, the biggest mistakes homeowners make and how to avoid them, how to tell if your remodeling project will run smoothly before you sign the contract, and then planning your project. Because ironically, a lot of people give more time into planning a one-week vacation than they do an expensive project on their home.
That's fabulous. That looks like a really valuable thing. And how would people get that, Ryan?
So they can request that from me. I'm Ryan at cobblestoneexteriors.com, and we will gladly send you an electronic copy. Or if they'd like to submit a mailing address to you, Karen, I'm happy to mail a hard copy direct to their home.
We are talking about home remodeling, home repairs, and how to avoid some unscrupulous contractors. We're here with Ryan Waltz. He is with the wonderful firm of Cobblestone Exteriors. They've been around for almost 40 years in the Chicagoland area, very reputable in what they do. And Ryan, can you remind us, you have prepared over the years, your company has prepared kind of a checklist of some things to think about and things to consider when you hire a contractor and how to make the job go smoothly. Can you tell our listeners how to contact you to get this document?
Absolutely. So the document are 6 points to follow for a successful remodeling project. You can send me a direct email at ryan@cobblestoneexteriors.com. I'm happy to send that document your way, or send me a request with your mailing address, and we will gladly mail a hard copy.
Thank you so much. Let's talk a little bit about permits. And can you tell our listeners how important that is and how that might play out in the value of your home ultimately?
Absolutely. So permits are a necessity depending on the scope of the project. The city requires them the majority of the time. They can be obtained by either the client directly or via an architect that the client or the GC has hired, or the general contractor. A lot of times the general contractor, it's easier for him to do that himself because they can articulate the details of the project a little bit more efficiently. But it is a service that is directed through the city of Chicago in this circumstance. They have a porthole, and it's going to allow for a professional inspector to audit the project throughout the course of the cycle of start to completion. So it's an extra set of eyes. It's going to give you a peace of mind knowing that the project was done in accordance not only to the contractor standards, but also to the city inspector standards, thereby foregoing any future issues you will have when you go to sell the property.
And that can happen. If the right permits are not pulled, you do something on the side yourself, it may be that you have to pay for it to be done again or to be remediated when it comes time to sell your home. So never a good idea to scrimp on that issue. And tell us a little bit about insurance that you suggest is required, should be required by the contractor, and what can happen if the contractor doesn't have the appropriate insurance?
Great question. So kinds of insurance that we typically see out there, general liability in and around the $2 million aggregate is typically the benchmark. Workman's compensation, if somebody gets hurt on your property without workman's compensation, you could be vulnerable. Does the company have a commercial vehicle? Is it branded? Do they carry commercial auto insurance? There's also builder's insurance that can be taken out as well. You know, it really protects you and your property from the unknown, as most insurances do. It's very, very important that you align yourself with somebody that carries and provides proof of an active general liability and workman's compensation policy.
And what does that proof generally look like?
It's a COI, so it's a certificate of insurance, and oftentimes it can also list the additionally insured as the homeowner, depending on the situation. But they should have an active COI that can be provided and or attached to the agreement that you consummate.
And just circling back to picking a contractor, are there some red flags that, you know, maybe you've dealt with customers who have said, oh, I hired someone before, I should have known this was a red flag, or that you say to yourself, when you saw that, you should have run for the hills? Are there some things that that kind of you see happening all the time that should really warn possible homeowners?
Yes, a lot of this boils down to your gut instinct, and I rely heavily on that when I do business and deal with clients, and reciprocally, I think they should have that same instinct. Is this general contractor or company operating with transparency? Are they well organized? Do they articulate their emails and their communications? Are they sending calendar invites? Are they following up on their timelines early and often? Because if they're missing appointments or late to appointments, that's just a sign of what's yet to come with missed timelines and deadlines and elongated project timelines.
And, you know, one of the things that that I want to talk about is what happens when you are, you know, the project starts, let's say you're getting something done and you see that it's just not what you wanted, that it's sloppy, that things are not being done correctly, and it's noticeable right at the beginning. How to address that? Do you break the contract? Do you insist that the person go back and fix it? What are the best ways of dealing with that kind of thing?
And this is also something that alludes to choosing the right contractor. The right contractor is going to be in lockstep with you, handle your concerns, your uncertainties in a very professional manner, and optimally get you to that finished product that they promised you up front. If you feel like that's not going the way that you had anticipated, it's off track, first and foremost, review your contract, see how to handle those types of disputes. Oftentimes that is mentioned within the agreement, but always keep a formal and handwritten record of all of that. I would immediately address those concerns with writing So you have the paper trail, and then keep a record of all that correspondence, commitments, retain legal counsel if you absolutely have to, if that particular GC is just not accommodating and playing ball according to your preferences.
I had a texter from 708 during this microburst storm on July 3rd. Giant trees were down. All of the scammers came out in droves, basically like termites. And when I asked them if they were licensed by the city, insured and bonded, they walked away. So, you know, that's a red flag right then and there. And the other thing I wanted to say, Ryan, is that I always encourage people to take pictures. You know, keep a diary of your project. Keep a really good log of what you were told. What, you know, when did they come in? Take a picture of what the progress was. They haven't been here in 3 days, and what you've communicated about whether you like or don't like what's going on, just to kind of keep a record, because when and if, God forbid, you have to hire a lawyer, and lawyers are super expensive, preventing this kind of thing is probably the best thing in the world, but you want to have a log of what was going on so that you have a contemporaneous record of what this person was doing, and I think sometimes that keeps them honest in a way where they know that you're keeping track. I don't know if you've seen that or that you recommend that as well.
Absolutely. I think everybody who hires a general contractor wears somewhat of a project management hat. And if you're an organized person and you have clear expectations and you've communicated those expectations to the contractor, and in return they've agreed to those expectations, everything should flow smoothly. You know, it's really getting ahead of anything that could potentially derail a project. And once again, I feel like if that contractor is transparent, efficient, and organized, and accommodating, and willing to give you that final result that you've anticipated and agreed upon, you should have no issues with that. But as a hedge against that, definitely keep dubious records on everything that goes on your job site at your house.
And, you know, in the event that someone walks off the job site or does shoddy work that causes more damage or what have you, I always recommend that they go and they get a couple of different quotes to remediate, because what you would be entitled to in court from a legal standpoint is basically what it costs to put the project back to and into what it should have been in the first place. So, you know, if it's going to have a full takeout of a floor and put it back in again, how much is that going to cost? Because then a lawyer is going to know how much is at issue, because you don't get damages based on just conjecture and your pain and suffering. It has to be a monetary a dollar amount. And so I always tell people to do that so you know what you're dealing with.
Absolutely.
So, Ryan, let's just talk quickly about mechanics liens. We only have a couple of minutes, and I don't want to get into the weeds with it because it's a very complicated issue and a very complicated area of law. But what is a concern to have a mechanics lien against your property?
Essentially, it is interest for an unpaid debt. So if the debt's not settled, the lien holder can theoretically force the sale of a property through a foreclosure lawsuit to recover what they're owed. If the house is ever sold, the lien's going to be paid off automatically via the title insurance company using the proceeds of the sale. So it's going to come back to haunt you. There's a process. You know, it's the send the intent to the client. You complete the submission, record the lien with the county, and then you serve that lien to the property owner. And it effectively, it is an interest in your home.
And so, just, you know, I've seen this over and over again. Someone walks off the job site, you don't pay them, they get mad, so they put a mechanics lien against your property, even for stuff they maybe didn't complete, or they completed in a shoddy manner. And there you have it. You have a cloud on your title that has to be dealt with, whether it's now or later, and that can be very difficult and very time-consuming and expensive. Again, trying to
Absolutely.
Avoid all those things.
And that's for general contractors, subs, material suppliers, and laborers. They all have those same lien rights.
Absolutely. Ryan Waltz, can you tell our listeners how to get your document? And Ryan is with, he's a partner and owner of Cobblestone Exteriors here in Chicago, very reputable company. He's put together kind of a checklist for people who might be doing remodeling or construction or repairs. Tell us what is in the document and then how they can get it.
You got it. So once again, this Document contains 6 points on how to find yourself in a successful remodeling project, conversely, not a negative remodeling project. So we want to avoid those common misconceptions. You're going to avoid common scams. How to choose the right contractor is included in this. The biggest mistakes homeowners make and how to avoid them. And then how to tell if your remodeling project's going to run smoothly. And lastly, point number 6 is plan your project. Happy to send this as an e-document. My email is ryan@cobblestoneexteriors.com. You can also knock on our door at 3062 North Clybourne if you're ever in the area. We have our showroom and retail location there. And you can also email Karen, and we will get your home address if you would like a hard copy.